Growing up in New York City, I was brought up a Catholic. And for many years, growing up as a Catholic, it was ingrained to me that Catholics alone were responsible for writing the Bible, for giving us the Bible. I grew up believing that for many, many, many years. Now, Catholics contend that the whole world is indebted to them for the existence of the Bible. And this is just another one of their attempts to exalt the church as an authority in addition to the Bible. Please notice the following. These are quotes from a publication called The Faith of Millions and The Question Box. These are Catholic publications. If she, that is the Catholic Church, had not scrutinized carefully the writings of her children, rejecting some and approving others as worthy of inclusion in the canon of the New Testament, there would be no New Testament today. If she had not declared the books composing the New Testament to be the inspired Word of God, we would not know it. The only authority which non-Catholics have for the inspiration of Scriptures is the authority of the Catholic Church. And it is only by the divine authority of the Catholic Church that Christians know that Scriptures is the Word of God and what books certain belong in the Bible. It was the Catholic Church and no other which selected and listed the inspired books of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you can accept the Bible or any part of it as the inspired Word of God, you can only do so because the Catholic Church says it is. Now, the Catholic writers I quoted state that no one can accept the Bible as being inspired and as having authority only on the basis of the Catholic Church. In reality, the Bible is inspired and has authority not because of a church declared it, but because God made it so. God delivered it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and declared that it would abide forever. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired of God. All of it. The Catholics are wrong in their assumption that the Bible is authoritative only on the basis of the Catholic Church. The Bible does not owe its existence to the Catholic Church, but to the authority and power and providence of God. It would seem unnecessary for the Catholic Church to make this boastful claim of giving the Bible to the world when both it and so-called Protestantism accept the Bible as a revelation from God. However, it's an attempt to weaken the Bible as a sole authority and replace it with a man-made church. If it is true that we can accept the Bible only on the basis of the Catholic Church, doesn't that make the Catholic Church superior to the Bible? I used to ask this question when I was a young man going to church. I would ask my parents, you know, is the Catholic Church doing things the right way? I was always very inquisitive as a young man. And they told me, and I remember this to this day, a parish priest told me, to question the church is to question God. So in other words, you couldn't ask any questions of the Catholic Church. They were the sole authority, and they feel that they gave us the Bible. And this is what Catholic officials want men to believe. Their only problem is that that doctrine comes from their own human reasoning rather than from God. Their logic is a classic example of circle reasoning. They try to prove the Bible by the church and the church by the Bible. It's an absurd reasoning, brothers and sisters, which proves absolutely nothing. Either the New Testament is the sole authority or it's not. If it's the New Testament, it cannot be the church. And if it's the church, it cannot be the New Testament. This is a quote from a publication, Catholic publication called The Box. Because it was never a Bible, so the infallible church pronounced it to be so, The separate treatises, each of them inspired, were lying, as it were, dispersely, easy to confound with others that were uninspired. The church gathered them up, selected them, pronounced judgment on them, rejecting some which she defined and declared not to be canonical because they're not inspired, and adopting others as being inspired and therefore canonical. And since the books of the Bible constituting the Old and New Testament were determined solely by the authority of the Catholic Church, without the Church there would have been no Bible, hence no Protestantism. Wow. All the books of the New Testament were written by Catholics henceforth, end quote. When we consider the word Catholic meaning universal, we readily admit that the writers in the Bible were Catholic in that sense. They were members of the Church Universal, the Church of Christ, which was inscribed in the New Testament. Let's turn to Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself would come to have first place in everything. That is Christ Jesus. However, we deny that the writers of the New Testament were members of the Roman Catholic Church as we know it today. The Roman Catholic Church was not fully developed until several hundred years after the New Testament was written. It's not the same institution as disclosed in the New Testament. The New Testament books were written by members of the Lord's Church, but they are not its author. God himself is the author of the New Testament. The Catholic writers I quoted claim that without the Catholic Church, there would have been no Bible. They argue that mankind cannot accept scriptures only on the basis of the Catholic Church, which gathered the books and determined which were inspired. Now, surely the Catholic Church cannot claim that it gave us the Old Testament as well, but yet they claim that as well. We all know the Old Testament came through the Jews, God's chosen people, who have the holy oracles entrusted to them. The Old Testament books were gathered into one volume, were translated from Hebrew into Greek long before Christ came into earth. Now, the Septuagint version was translated by 70 scholars at Alexandria, Egypt, around 227 B.C. And this was the version that Christ and his apostles used. Christ did not tell his people, as Catholics do today, that they can accept scriptures only on the basis of the authority of those who gathered them and declare them to be inspired. He urged his people of his day to follow the Old Testament scriptures as the infallible guide, not because man or any group of men sanctioned them, but because they came from God, God the Father. Furthermore, Christ understood that God-fearing men and women will be able to discern by evidence which books were of God and which were not. Thus, he never raised questions, doubts concerning the gathering of the inspired books. If the Bible is a Catholic book, why does it nowhere mention the Catholic Church? I was curious. I turned the Bible upside down when I was a young man. I could not find the Catholic Church in the Bible. Why is there no mention of the Pope? If you grew up Catholic, you know that Catholics believe that Peter was the first Pope. I don't see that in the Bible. Why is there no mention of a cardinal, an archbishop, a parish priest, nun, or a member of any Catholic order? You can't find it there, brothers and sisters. Furthermore, if the Bible is a Catholic book, why do they write the Bible as is and feel the necessity of putting footnotes on the bottom of each page in an effort to keep their subjects from believing what's in the text? Go to a Catholic church and pick up a Bible and turn to Acts 2:38, where it tells you must be baptized. They'll put their footnotes underneath there explaining infant baptism, which totally contradicts what that passage is trying to teach us, that salvation comes through Christ and that we must be baptized in order to come into his kingdom. Here's a small summation of what I've been trying to emphasize. If the Bible is a Catholic book, why does it condemn clerical dress? Let's turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, 5. 5 and 6, actually. I'm not going to read all of it. For they brought in their phylacteries and lengthened the tassels of the garment. If the Bible is a Catholic book, what does it teach against the adoration of Mary? Let's turn to Luke 11, verses 27, 28. Luke 11, 27, 28. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nurse. For he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Why does it show that all Christians are priests? 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation of peoples, God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If the Bible is a Catholic book, why does it condemn the observance of special days? Galatians 4, 9 says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. If the Bible is a Catholic book, why does it teach that all Christians are saints? To be a saint in the Catholic faith, you have to be dead. You have to be a special dead person, I call it. You have to be dead and you have to have done something very special. And that's how you're canonized as a saint. That's not what the Bible teaches us. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Why does it condemn the making and adoration of images? Exodus 20, 4 and 5. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness. I don't know if you ever come into a Catholic church. They walk in, they bow, they do the sign of the crucifix. Almost every idol there. They put statues in their homes. I remember my mother had a statue for St. Peter, a statue for St. Athanas, St. Aquinas, we had all these saints, all these statues that they prayed to. But that's not in the Bible. If the Bible's a Catholic book, why does the Bible teach that baptism is immersion instead of pouring? Let's look at Colossians 2, verse 12. Colossians 2, verse 12. Have you been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God? Why does it forbid us to address religious leaders as Father? Matthew 2, 23, 9 says, do not call anyone on earth your father. Why does the Bible teach that Christ is the only foundation, not the Apostle Peter? 1 Corinthians 3, 11. 1 Corinthians 3, 11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Why does it teach that there is one mediator instead of many? 1 Timothy 2, 5 says, For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If the Bible is a Catholic book, why does it teach that a bishop must be a married man? 1 Timothy, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, keeping his children under control with all dignity. And that's 1 Timothy 3, 2 and verses 4 and 5. Why does it oppose the idea of purgatory? In Luke 16, 26 we read, and besides all this, between us and you there's a great chasm fixed. Why are they completely silent about infant baptism, instrumental music in worship, indulgences, confession to the priest? I'm going to share a quick story. When I was doing my communion class, I walked into the rectory, and I remember all the priests were there. My parents were with me, to make sure I got there safely. This was the Bronx back in the day. And when I walked in there, all the priests were smoking, and I remember this to this day. They were drinking Canadian Mist whiskey because the bottle was right there in the middle of the table, and they were all drinking whiskey, and they were all smoking, and they were all talking. You know, and I remember asking my parents, you know, if they smoke and drink, what else do they do? And I got a smack in the head for saying that. But I also remember that very evening, my young little sister was walking around with a cup, and she had a pen, and she was making believe she was smoking and drinking whiskey and saying, look, I'm Father so-and-so. So that's some influence they had. Why is there no mention of rosary beads, the Mass, and many other things in the Catholic Church? That's not in the Bible. Now, this is from this quote here is from a Catholic course called The Box. I apologize, not The Box. It's called Who Gave the Bible to the People? And I quote, during those early times, parts of the Bible were scattered among the various churches, and no one had the complete Bible as we know it now. Then in AD 390, at the Council of Hippo, the Catholic Church gathered together the various books which claimed to be scripture, passed on the merits and claims of each, and this council decided which were inspired and which were not. The Catholic Church put all the inspired books and epistles together in one volume, and that is the Bible as we have it today. The Catholic Church, therefore, gave to the people and the world the Bible as we have it. This next quote is from the Faith of Millions. It was not until the Council of Hippo in 390 that the Church gathered these Gospels and epistles scattered about in the different churches and placed them within the covers of a single book, giving the Bible to the world. Indeed, when you accept the Bible as the Word of God, you are obliged to receive it on the authority of the Catholic Church, who is the sole guardian of the Scriptures for 1,500 years. When were all these writings put together? The Catholic Church put them all in one book between the years 350 and 405, end quote. Thus, the Catholic Church argues that since the Council of Hippo in 390 AD proclaimed which books were actually inspired and placed them all in one volume, we're all indebted to the Catholic Church for the New Testament, and we can only accept it on the authority of the Catholic Church. There are several things wrong with this. First, it cannot be proven that the church which held the Council of Hippo in 390 AD was the same church which is now known as the Roman Catholic Church. For example, the church of 390, they had no crucifixes, no images. As a matter of fact, the first mention of crucifixes are in the 6th century, and the whole tradition of veneration of holy images gradually and naturally developed. The church of 390 was together a different church from the Roman Catholic Church, not the same church. Furthermore, in the proceedings in the Council of Hippo, the bishops did not mention or give the slightest hint that they were for the first time officially cataloging the books of the Bible for the world. Now, it wasn't until the fourth session of the Council of Trent in the years 1545 through 1563 that the bishops and high-ranking officials of the Catholic Church officially cataloged the books they thought should be included in the Bible and bound them upon the conscience of all Catholics. Secondly, God did not give councils the authority to select his sacred books, nor does he expect men to receive his sacred books only on the basis of councils. It takes no vote or sanction or council to make the books of the Bible authoritative. Men were always able to rightly discern which books were inspired before the assistance of ecclesiastical councils, and men can do so today. I came through to God's truth simply reading the Bible and studying the Bible. I went from Catholicism to Seventh-day Adventism to Charismatic, Pentecostal, to Baptist, and reading my Bible, just reading the Bible and studying it, I realized that all those things were wrong. No one had to teach me that. God's Word taught me that. just reading and studying your Bible. It will teach you. A council of men in 390 with no divine authority whatsoever supposedly took it upon themselves to state which books were inspired, and Catholics argue that we can accept the Bible only on the authority of the Catholic Church. Can we follow such reasoning? Third, it cannot be proven that the Catholic Church is solely responsible for the gathering and selection of the New Testament books. In fact, it could be shown that the New Testament books were gathered into one volume and were in circulation long before the Catholics claimed to have taken action in 390 at the Council of Hippo. In the following, and we have it up here, we list some of the catalogs of the books of the Bible which were given by early Christian writers. 326 A.D., Athanasius, bishop at Alexandria, mentions all the New Testament books. 315 to 386, Cyril, bishop at Jerusalem, gives a list of all New Testament books except Revelation. 270 A.D., Eusebius, bishop of Caesarea, called the father of ecclesiastical history, gives an account of the persecution of Emperor Diocletian, whose edict required that all churches be destroyed and the scriptures burned. Now, he lists all the books of the New Testament, and he was commissioned by Constantine to have transcribed 50 copies of the Bible for use of the churches of Constantinople. In 185 to 254 A.D., Origen, born of Alexandria, names all the books of the Old and New Testament. 165 to 220 A.D., Clement of Alexandria names all the books of the New Testament except for Philemon, James, 2 Peter, 3 John. In addition, we are told that Eusebius, who had the works of Clement, that he gave an explanation, a quotation from all the canonical books. In 160 to 240 A.D., Tertullian, a contemporary of Origen and Clement, mentioned all the New Testament books except 2 Peter, James, and 2 John. Irenaeus quoted from all New Testament books except Philemon, Jude, James, and 3 John, and that was 135 to 200 A.D. 100 to 147, Justin Martyr mentions the Gospel as being four in number, and quotes from them and some of the epistles of Paul and Revelation. Now, besides all those dates that I quoted, the early church fathers have handed down in their writings quotations from all New Testament books, so much so that it is said that the entire New Testament can be reproduced from their writings alone. Amazing. Thus, the New Testament books were in their existence in their present form at the close of the apostolic age. As a matter of fact, the apostles themselves put their writings into circulation. Let's turn to Colossians 4:16. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Fourth, the Catholic claim of giving the Bible to the world cannot be true because they have not been the sole possessor of the Bible at any given time. Some of the most valuable Greek Bibles and versions have been handed down to us from non-Roman Catholic sources. Now, a notable example of this is the Codex Sinaiticus, which was found in the monastery of St. Catherine, that's of the Greek Orthodox Church, at Mount Sinai in 1844. And it's now right now in the British Museum in London. Now, it contains all the books of the New Testament and all but a small portion of the Old Testament. Now, scholars are certain that this manuscript was made early in the 4th century, not later than 350 A.D. Now, this manuscript was found by a German scholar named Tischendorf, who was a Protestant. And this manuscript, which is the most complete of all, has never been in the hands of the Roman Catholic Church, ever. Now, another valuable manuscript that's never been possessed by the Roman Catholic Church is the Codex Alexandrinus. It, too, now is on exhibit at the Manuscript Room of the British Museum in London. Now, this was a gift from the Patriarch of Constantinople to Charles I in 1628. It had been in the possession of the Patriarchs for centuries and originally came from Alexandria, Egypt, from where it gets its name. Now, scholars are certain that this manuscript was also made in the 4th century, and along with the Code of Sinaiticus is thought to be one of the 50 Greek Bibles commissioned to be copied by Constantine. Now, in light of the foregoing, the boastful claim of the Roman Catholic Church that it's been the sole guardian and preserver of the sacred scriptures down to the present is nothing but pure falsehood. The Bible is not a Catholic book, and Catholics did not write it. Nor does their doctrine and church meet the description of the doctrine and church of which it speaks. The New Testament was completed before the end of the 1st century AD. The things in it do not correspond to the Catholic Church, which hundreds of years after the death of the apostles slowly evolved into what it is now. The Catholic Church is not the original and true church, but a church born of many departures and corruptions from the New Testament church. Even if the Catholic Church could prove that it alone is the sole deliverer of the scriptures to man today, it still remains that the Catholic Church is not following the Bible. Furthermore, even if the Catholic Church could show conclusively that it alone is responsible for gathering the books, it does not prove that the Catholic Church is infallible, nor does it prove that it is the author of the Bible. We all know that God at times has used evil agencies to accomplish his purpose. We've studied, therefore, that the Catholic Church argues that since one of its councils in 390 AD selected the sacred books, one can only accept them on the basis of its authority. And we've answered it by showing, one, the Bible is inspired and has authority, not because of a church declared it, but because God made it so. Two, Jesus did not teach the people in his day that they could accept the Old Testament scriptures only on the basis of those who placed the books into one volume. Three, it is a mere assumption that the Council of Hippo in 390 was a council of the church which is now the Roman Catholic Church. Four, God did not give councils the authority to select his sacred books, nor does he expect men to receive his books only on the basis of councils. Five, the Catholic Church is not solely responsible for the gathering and selection of the New Testament books. Six, the Catholic Church has not been the sole possessor of the Bible at any time. And we go back to the Codex Sinaiticus and all the books discovered. And seven, even if we can prove that the Catholic Church gathered the books into one volume, it still remains that it is not following the Bible today as it should be. I hope you learned something. I know if I would have given this message to many of my Catholic family, they probably would jump up here and beat me up, literally. But it's something that was in my heart that I felt I needed to share, and something that you could use out there when you come across Catholics. But remember, share the knowledge with love. Share the truth with love. Always with love. Now, I know one thing. I don't care if you are Catholic. I don't care if you are Baptist, Methodist. The only way you're going to enter heaven is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is to be baptized for the remission of your sins and come into a full relationship with Christ Jesus. If we can help you do that today, please step forward as we sing the song of encouragement.